If you would, open your Bibles with me to the book of Acts. Barnabas was an apostle. A lot of people don't know that, but the Bible states that he was an apostle. Barnabas is a Bible character that's kind of behind the scenes. We know of a lot of different things that took place in the Bible. Two did it, Paul, different ones, Peter. I enjoy Peter. I've enjoyed for years doing a character study of Peter through the Bible. One of the things that characterizes Peter is the number three. Three things. Peter's name. He had three names. Jesus told Peter, "Do you love my sheep?" Three times. Peter did not reject him three times. A lot of other things has to do with Peter. Well, in doing that study, I come across Luke chapter 11, verse 24, and it's got nothing to do with Peter. Or Acts, sorry, not Luke. Acts. Luke was the author. Acts chapter 11, verse 24. "For he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord." This is talking about Barnabas. And with Barnabas, and the way Luke wrote about Barnabas here, the three things. Number one, he was a good man. A good man. I got to studying that out. And what did Luke mean when he said a good man? Well, you have to understand Barnabas. Let's go back to Acts chapter 4, if you would, please. And looking at Barnabas as a good man. If y'all don't mind, I'm going to take this jacket off. I haven't preached with a jacket on for 5 years, so. When it's 120 degrees outside, you don't use a jacket very often. Acts chapter 4, verse 36 and 37. "And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is it being interpreted, son of consolation or encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." Now, we're all aware of a similar situation, are we not? In the next chapter, who was that? Ananias and Sapphira. Well, unfortunately, Ananias and Sapphira didn't learn from Barnabas. Barnabas, with what the situation was taking place, you have to remember the church has just begun. A lot of people were in Jerusalem that heard the gospel, got saved, wanted to stay there, and stayed there for years to hear what was going on, to hear more about Jesus Christ, to hear more about salvation. They didn't have money, they didn't have land, anything. They were just hungry to hear. And so to provide for these people, Barnabas was one of the people that saw a need. Now, we can go into a big discussion as why did a Levite have land? He wasn't supposed to have land, and on and on and on. We're not going to get into all that. Barnabas saw a need. What did Barnabas do? He took and he sold the land that he had, gave all the money to the apostles so that they could feed the people that were there. They could use that money to further the gospel. In seeing this, Ananias and Sapphira thought, "Hey, that's a neat idea. We'll do that, but we don't want to give it all, so we'll keep part back." What separated Barnabas and Ananias and Sapphira were wanting to be an encouragement. Ananias and Sapphira didn't have that. They had greed. When we look at Barnabas and we think about being an encouragement, Barnabas was a good man. Why? Because Barnabas saw a need. We don't have a lot of recordings of this taking place in Scripture. Unfortunately, we only have two, one good and one bad. But he saw a need and he stepped forth when it looks like not many other people did. And being a good man and being what later on in the book of Acts they were called Christians, we need to see, as a Christian, we need to see these needs in people's lives. We need to be an encouragement to people. Now, encouragement comes in different forms. There are times you can be an encouragement just by sitting with somebody. We had a dear, sweet lady in our church, lost three of her sons in one night. They were in a bar. One of them was in a bar. He got drunk. Someone shot him. The other two stepped in and he shot them too. 28, 27, and 25 years old. She's been in the church since the very beginning. Knows all the verses that you know. As a pastor, what do you say? The best thing I could come up with was absolutely nothing. My wife and I went over there and sat with her for over 3 hours. Never said a word. Because that's all she needed. She just didn't want to be alone. What do you do with a young family? First child and it's stillborn. What do you say? You see, encouragement comes in various forms. Our reaction to the encouragement, how to encourage somebody else, takes on various forms. I have in Brazil what I call my coffee ministry. A lot of churches here have what they call a coffee ministry. Mine's a little different. In Brazil, coffee is made with, you take a quart of water, about a thermos. You take all the water, you take that water, you pour it in a pan, you put it on a stove, and you scoop in 9 heaping tablespoons of sugar. You bring that to a boil, you take a sock and you hold it over at the thermos with 9 tablespoons of coffee in it. You pour that mixture down through the coffee into the thermos and you drink it. Now you don't drink a whole cup, you drink a cup. You drink a couple swallows. Well, the Brazilians typically are, Brazilians get paid on the 5th of every month, all Brazilians. Well, by the 28th and 29th, sometimes things are pretty tight. Okay, especially if you don't know how to budget it out. And so I'll go to their houses on families I think are getting a little tight. Things are getting a little tight. Well, if they serve coffee, because they will always serve you coffee or juice, water if there's nothing else, but they will always serve me coffee because they know I like coffee. Well, if the coffee comes and it's not very sweet, or you can hold the cup up and you can look through it, there's usually a problem in the home. Things are getting tight. And so I use that. Then later on, we'll take them some fruit and, you know, some food to try to get them through to the end of the month then. And I call that my coffee ministry. Well, there's other ways that you can do this, but we have to at least be like Barnabas. When you look at others, can you see a need in their life? Sometimes it's a spiritual need. Sometimes it's a physical need. Sometimes it's just to sit there and not say a word. But is your heart open to that? Are you open to that as a Christian when you look at other people? How do you look at other people? Do you see someone in need? If you don't, come with me and let's go sit in the mall for an hour. No cell phones, no nothing. Just sit on a bench and watch the people go by. I'll show you people in need. The world does not need more Christians looking for coins on the sidewalk. You understand what I'm saying? We walk around like this. We need to hold our head up, not your nose, your head up. We need to be looking. Where is there a need? Where can I be an encouragement? How can I encourage somebody? We like to be encouraged. How can we encourage somebody else? I hear a lot about depression. We're in a small town, Japura, 8,000 people. 65% of the women in that town were on depression medicine. There was a need. There was a need. We developed a ministry for those women. My wife got the women in the church and started making visits with that purpose. The second thing Luke wrote about Barnabas was he not only was a good man, but he said full of the Holy Ghost. Turn with me to Acts chapter 9. I'm sorry, Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Full of the Holy Ghost. If we are full of the Holy Ghost and we're working in the power of the Holy Ghost, we're going to see needs. We're going to see where we can be a blessing. We're going to see where we can encourage someone because that's how the Holy Spirit works. Look at Acts chapter 13, verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Now, up to this point, you will see Barnabas and Saul. From now on, things switch. It's Saul and Barnabas. Barnabas encouraged Saul. Stop and think about that. Who was Saul? Paul, one of the greatest missionaries there was. Who was his encourager? A man that was not a pastor? A man that helped start churches in Cyprus, where he was from? An encourager. His job was to encourage the greatest missionary we know. I thought, wow, what a ministry. I was sharing with Pastor Dr. J.R. Faulkner, assistant pastor of Highland Park Baptist Church at Tennessee Temple, Chattanooga, Tennessee, for 37 years. That's what God called him to do. His nickname was Barnabas. That's all he wanted to do. They asked him when Dr. Lee Robertson retired, do you want to take the pastorate? He said, no. God called me to be an assistant. He didn't call me to be pastor. I'll stay where I am. I'll lead the church until you call a pastor, but I will not be the pastor. I will be his assistant if you want me to stay. Wonderful servant. I consider him a modern-day Barnabas for me. But he knew God had called him to do that. And he was doing it to the best of his ability, the same as Barnabas. You see, Barnabas was the type of person I tell people that I am. I can lead or follow, but if you're not going to lead, get out of the way, because one of us has to. Barnabas was the same way. Barnabas led Paul up to this point. Now Barnabas, because the Holy Spirit wanted Paul in the forefront, Barnabas took second place as the follower. And Barnabas had no problem with that. Barnabas continued on for years in the same place. That's what an encourager will do. It doesn't matter what God calls us to do. It doesn't matter what God speaks to our heart to do. If we want to encourage, we're going to do it. We're going to find ways to do it for whoever it is, whether it's the leader or whether it's the lowest position. I have to be careful with this because I had a lady afterwards say, well, don't you read your Bible? I used to leave my Bible, my Portuguese Bible, at the church. And because it was a large print, so I could see it in the pulpit because I was going half blind, and then I got glasses, but I could see it so I could read it easier. Well, after a while, I opened my Bible one day, and there was a little note in there, and it said, I love you. And later on, I got a couple more, have a nice day, and different things like that. One day, I said to my wife, I appreciate you leaving those notes for me. And she looked at me and she said, what notes? I said, I said, the love notes that's in my Bible on the pulpit. And she went and looked at them. And we got to talk and I shared that. And after church, a little 7-year-old girl come up and said, I leave them for you, Pastor. I wanted to encourage you. I had to tell my wife, I got an admirer, you know. But those little notes with those three little words on it were such an encouragement to me because there were days I needed that, at times that I needed to be encouraged, and it was done by a little 7-year-old girl that just wanted to be an encouragement. It comes in various ways. Now, people are going to do it in different ways. That doesn't mean it's wrong. We're all different. I'm different from you. Now, you can be wrong, but that's okay. I am different because I like canned SpaghettiOs cold. Okay, well, at least there's two of us that's okay. The rest of you got to get your life right. You got to start walking with the Lord. I got in the habit of eating when we were going temporary duty assignments to different places around the world, and I would take those. I like them. You can't go wrong with macaroni, hot or cold, amen? Macaroni's just good. My wife still won't eat them. But anyway, it comes in various forms. It's done in various ways. It's never the same. The way I do it isn't the way you're going to do it. The way you do it isn't the way I may not be the way I'm going to do it, but that's the way God wants you to do it. But we need to be doing it. You see, we need to see this need. Go with me. In Acts chapter 9, let's go to Acts chapter 9. He also said, Luke also wrote about Barnabas about faith, full of faith. We have to believe in what our ministry is. We have to not only see that need and know through the Holy Spirit, he's going to help us to fulfill it, but we have to believe it. In Acts chapter 9, we have the account of Barnabas going and finding Paul, or Saul. And there was a purpose in it, because being filled with the Holy Spirit guided Barnabas to do this. It says in verse 26, Acts 9:26, "And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto him how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus." Barnabas had faith in what he had seen God do in Paul. So therefore, he went there and he said, "Gentlemen, this is real. You need to listen to me. I, as testimony to this, saw that. I know this is going on." And we see that they did, based on what Barnabas said. Barnabas had faith. God told him to go there and do it. He did it. Didn't question it. We have another example. Look at Acts chapter 15, verse 36 through 40. A young man, we're well aware of this situation. We've heard a lot of preaching out, a lot of people talk about it. Acts chapter 15, verse 36. It's talking about Mark. "And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God." We know that John Mark was Barnabas' cousin. But putting that aside, Barnabas saw something in John Mark. He had faith in the men and what God had called John Mark to do. Wanted John Mark to do that, he wanted to encourage him. So he took him. He said, "Okay, I'll take him." As an encourager, sometimes we're going to see things in people that other people don't. We're going to see potential. Our neighbor lady, when we were in Spain, came over just across the cul-de-sac, witnessed to my wife. Well, after my wife got saved, a couple of years later before they PCS'd out, she told my wife, she said, "You know the night that I went over and witnessed to you? I went back home and cried and told my husband, that woman is never going to get saved." I thought, well, I didn't think my wife was that rough, but she's here tonight and she knows Jesus Christ is her Savior. You don't ever give up. She continued to witness to my wife. Even though she had said that to her husband, she continued to witness to my wife. And my wife got saved because of that. We need to see the potential. There's others that may not see it, but we need to see it. We need to have faith, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when we step out to be an encouragement and to encourage others, by faith, we're going to see this happen. And folks, there is not a lack of people to encourage. We do not lack that at all. We need to be that way. We need to be an encouragement.